Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstcclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour number four of the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Cowboys training camp next week. Frank Caliendo in studio now, the funniest man in football, king of NFL impersonations. You've seen him on Fox NFL and Frank TV and Mad TV and everything, and he joins us now here on 105.3 The Fan. It's great to see you and get a chance to meet you, buddy.
Yeah, and I'm almost sheftered myself. According to my sources, at this particular time, it appears Frank Caliendo is having difficulty with the microphone. He thinks he's been in studio many times in many stations across the country, but right now, he can't figure out how to work the microphone. And then we get going, and it becomes Adam Schefter on helium, and we're trying to figure out when this is...
Schefter's one of those guys that... He's so specific. I once asked him, where are you? I texted him, where are you? He's, I'm at the doctor's office, three seats to the left, next to the Highlights magazine. No. What city are you in? Oh, Long Island. I was like, oh, can't you just say that? Why is that so difficult?
Now, how difficult is Schefter compared to Rappaport? Can you go back and forth?
Well, Rappaport's just him with a cold. Schefter, Rappaport.
They're probably, and I think that's because they're both a little bit of New York kind of voice. But yeah, it's very, very, I was on an NFL network one time and they were like, can you do Rappaport? I'm like, yeah, just give me a cold. And now I'm Ian Rappaport. So it's a very, very interesting thing. How those two guys with a very similar job, almost the same type of job, pretty much, you know, NFL insider, gambling helper, and they have the same almost cadence and voice. It just kind of cracks me up.
How did you get to doing all the football stuff? Are you a huge football fan?
Well, I grew up a sports fan overall, but Kimmel brought me on. Jimmy Kimmel was... doing the NFL on Fox first. And then the story goes like this. Jimmy Brusca, who's his producer, had a guy who did a John Madden impression, and Jimmy Kimmel had a guy who did a John Madden impression. They were fighting over who was going to do the John Madden impression for the NFL on Fox. Turns out I was both the guys. So they were fighting over me. Neither of them knew my name and might still not know it. But I was the guy that they were fighting. You know, they thought there were two different guys. And like, what's your guy's name? What's your guy's name? Frank Cadano? Frank Calamari? Yeah, that's him.
I swear he's the best.
So yeah, he's really, really good. And the funny thing is the Madden started out. I listened to old John Maddens that I do. And I'm like, here's a guy. I was like, that was awful. And then I brought it down to, you know, this thing where you talk like this. And I mean, yeah. I used to do call-ins in Chicago as Madden. They called him Monday Night John. And people thought it was actually John Madden.
Heck yeah.
Yeah. I mean, because there was, you know, there's a way to do it cartoony. But then if you really talk like he talked and at the time he was talking, I mean, you talk a little, you do a little of that. But it just got to be where it was more fun to me to, you know, he's just eating things constantly type of thing. So yeah, that was the evolution of that. So I was on NFL on Fox for 9 years, and there are people who still think I'm on there. I mean, that's how crazy that is. And they thought I only did John Madden. I mean, you guys might not even know that. People are like, oh, you just did John Madden. No, I did John Madden like three times a year. We'd do other stuff, whether it was a Dr. Phil sketch or whatever. And then when I went over to ESPN, I found out like people that watch ESPN knew nothing about anything outside of ESPN. It was like The Simpsons. It was like their own world. So I'd have to do a Stephen A. Smith. I understand where we're coming from with some of these things. Somebody get me thesaurus right now. Thesaurus? No, thesaurus. I invented my own word. The Stephen A. Smithsaurus, which is going to end up in the Stephen A. Smithsonian. So that was where I started getting a bunch more of those ESPN type of impressions, because it only worked in its own world. If you tried to do something outside of that, people were like, don't get it, Because people who watch like sports TV watch the same stuff. Or Jay Moore would do that bit. That's he's like, I watch SportsCenter. Then when SportsCenter's over, I watch more SportsCenter. Then I watch the same SportsCenter. Yeah. It's not quite the same as it used to be. That's right. The way it was back in the day. But yeah, that's how that whole thing. I answered the question. I never know if I answered the question.
Yeah, you did fine. Yeah.
Can you look at any artist or celebrity or anything without trying to in your mind?
No,
start?
I break it down. It's like the Predator. It's whether I can tackle the subject or not. I tell people I'm a magician more than a wizard. It takes a lot of repetition. So for the longest time, I couldn't do anything close to Chris Berman. It would turn into Al Pacino. I was trying, but bumbling, stumbling, I could go. So I finally figured out was,
say what you will, but nobody circles the wagons like the Buffalo Bills.
I try to find, I don't stay in character a lot. I grew up watching Robin Williams, that type of thing. I like to use them almost like a producer on a radio station presses the button to have a sound effect. And that's, that's the thing. I guess it's a positive and a negative, but for me, that's the way I always looked at it with these impressions, is just going in and out of them and having fun with them. But then people are like, okay, let's call this. I don't really do that. I just try to talk around the person a little bit more and just get enough to have that flavor of it. So for example, like Tony Romo is just like starting a car. It's like, and driving the car around. Oh, Jim. Here we go, Jim. He talks. You can tell he's smiling when he's talking. He's like smiling through my Skechers. This is going to be incredibly good.
What if Tony shows up at one of your shows at the Addison Improv this week? And would you love that?
He would say, that's a great segue into a plug. Nice job. That's better than Jim and I couldn't even remember his name. I was going to say Tony. Oh, Tony.
That's my Nance. Hello, friends. Jim Nance, along with my pal, Tony Romo.
Oh, Jim. This is going to be good. Here we go, Jim.
The improv is this weekend. Thank you for you did a smooth plug, and then I turned it into me just talking about it more. But you can get the tickets at improvtx.com. Frankonstage.com brings you to that as well, but it's the same
thing. So is your stand up act, is it just weaving in and out of a bunch of
different setting up a lot of that is like the setting up of type of that stuff. What I do is I kind of create a little bit of a world with all these different impressions, and there's other material and stuff like that too, but it weaves back and forth to the point where I can just call anything back. And because of the persona, the easiest way to explain it is like I'd explain jokes as John Madden. When I first started, I'm like, see, that was funny. It's supposed to be funny because you got a setup over here and a punchline over here. And then, boom, I mean, you put it together.
And then when Madden moved on and retired and, eventually he's passed away. But now I narrate things with Morgan Freeman. And that's when they realize that's where the punchline was supposed to be.
So a lot of my act is comprised of spots where I put myself in a pickle, so to speak, that I have to explain the joke almost. And that's part of the fun of it, is going back and being a little silly with it and using a character to say, what's going on here? This doesn't make sense anymore.
So nobody's like you. You know, I think you're super unique as a comic, right?
I think there's more people that it's, when I started.
You were a trendsetter in this situation.
In some way, there's a lot of people that watched a lot of me coming up. We did not, when I was at Mad TV, even before that, there were not a lot of ways, there weren't a lot of tools, no ways to watch impressions. You had to watch things on TV, maybe set up your VCR to record at a certain time. Now you can just go to YouTube and study people. So it's, and when you're younger, I think it's easier. I don't work as hard, anywhere near as hard as I used to. I used to work on these things constantly, just focus on the next one. What am I going to do? Especially when you're on a TV, you have to come up with new ones all the time. But the ability to research is way easier. We had a guy named Dylan. I don't even know if he had a last name at Mad TV, who would be the person that was in charge of going to get the videotapes of the subject matter to work on the impression. You might not get it for 2 days.
Right.
Remember, Will Sasso, Alex Borstein, and everybody else that was at Mad TV, we all had to do that kind of process. Mm-hmm. If you didn't have it, and you might be a day, and then you'd have to do it on TV 2 days later. So now everything's so accessible that it's, the impressions are about repetition. Is you just say the same things over and over and over. If you have enough time and you've got a knack for it, you can get a lot of them down. Maybe not all of them, but they're like magic tricks. I always tell people, it's if you work on magic,
you work on it to get it to a point where, especially like table magic or something like that, sleight of hand, put something behind your thumb or whatever, that the people can't see it. And that's really what an impression is. It's just moving stuff around in your vocal cords, tightening your throat, or using different muscles to create those voices.
I was with John Gruden, and I were together.
You spend some time. Going to see him in 2 weeks,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, I was
down
with John.
Tampa.
I was with him in Green Bay.
I tell you what, man, it's a tremendous place.
Yeah, and I was like with him in Philly.
Yeah, you had a good time there?
I had a great time.
You, like, you ever have one of those Philly cheesesteak sandwiches, man?
Yeah, I've had a couple with him. I actually, John, you took me to the Hooters.
Yeah, I tell you what, it's a pretty good place, man. Yeah. And I used to work there. Wore the shorts for a while, man.
You got behind the counter and cooked some wings for me. They were excellent.
Man. Yeah, put on that T-shirt, that owl in the front. Have little orange shorts, man. I tell you what. Those are revealing. Yeah. Little spider 2Y banana right there, man. You can see the spider 2Y banana if you know what I'm talking about.
Every time I hear you do him, I smile. Because I used to pick John up at, of course he gets up at 3:30 in the morning, and he didn't have a car.
That's 3:30. That's lunch, man.
Yeah, that's,
I've already been up for 4 hours. I asked him what time do you go to bed? About 6 p.m. Really? Yeah, man, I go to bed early.
I go to bed early. But it was funny, but every time I'd pick him up, he'd always have a story, big old cup of coffee. Oh, yeah. I love when you do his voice.
You're not going to believe what happened to me on the way over here. What happened? Aliens came down.
He texted me because I'm going to see him in a couple of weeks. He's like, "You ever hear this? You ever hear this thing? What's it called? Where you record the messages for people? What's that called? What is that? I can't even think what it's
voicemail?
Called. No. The app where you make things for people.
Snapchat?
No. Oh no. What's the thing that? No. It's you pay for it, right? What's the thing you pay for?
I can't think of it.
I wish I knew. Beats me. What kind of app are we looking at here?
I'll tell you what, we're going to find out pretty soon.
Chat GPT?
Let's see. That's the wrong John right there. John G. It's like, can you see, what's this guy? How are you doing? I'm just filling time right now.
I'm sure the people that text with the
Cameo, man.
Cameo.
Oh, the cameos.
Let's do a cameo and a Camaro. That'd be a funny idea, right? It's just one letter off, man.
Have you ever seen the Gruden cameos? Like, he's doing cameos. Oh, like, he's just bored, so he's doing cameos.
I got to see these.
Oh, it's hilarious. Because, like, people are like, hey, how you doing, man? I heard you're a big fan. Your name's John. You're getting married in a couple days.
I was just watching. He really is. I just got done watching some Walter Payton. You guys remember Walter Payton? I was watching him shoot the A-gap right here.
Just football 101.
We all just want to say happy birthday to you. And you're getting married or whatever.
Like, there's a whole thing online of all the Gruden things. It's like, oh my gosh.
When I hear you do him, I just get so, it brings a smile on my face.
It's funny because he's
perfect.
Yeah,
it's
he's
perfect
right there. And then Sean McVay is right in there. I got a memory, that kind of thing.
There's those football voices. There's a lot of them that are pretty similar.
Well, there's the video of you going and talking about Mike Glennon's neck.
Glennon. Yeah, I did Hard Knocks.
And Hard Knocks. And that was hilarious.
Glennon, we need a guy with a long neck. Glennon, you're it.
It's Frank Caliendo with us. We have more local guys. I mean, Jerry Jones, incredible offseason for him. But, you know, W is just about 5 miles down the road over here.
Well, that's a pretty good place to be, man. I just am trying to find my way, here, I guess. I'm trying to figure it out, you know, just to get from place to place, a place of vacation.
When you have a president that laughs like a Muppet, there's nothing better, right?
You do a potato.
You do Trump or Biden?
A very, very good. A lot of people are saying tremendous people. Ooh. Some of the best people are great people, and
I do a thing about, hey, he says the words, if he wants to get people on board, he uses these words, and everybody knows it. Yeah. Like there's a colony of people on Mars, and 100% of them voted for me, and everybody knows it. Then he'd be walking down the street like, you're about that colony of people on Mars? Yeah. How do you know about it? Everybody knows it.
And I'm not the only one saying this.
Who else is saying it?
Other people.
What other people?
Other people couldn't be here, but they're tremendously tremendous people.
And then Biden, I've got him with the, he's got the whisper follow-up. Oh. So it's a this or that premise. He'll be like, talking about something like the vaccines or something, like, it's not politics, it's science. It's science. It's science.
It's not the heat. It's the humidity. It's humidity. It's not delivery. It's DiGiorno. It's DiGiorno. By the way, DiGiorno, the number one home pizza, and everybody knows it. A lot of people are talking about it, quite frankly.
It seems like the eyebrows are married to the voice almost.
Oh, I call the pizza slice.
Okay.
So it's a line across the eyebrows and then a dot down at the chin for a triangle going downward. And then the bush, you know, so even with these fat cheeks, the way that it works is you can see it in the eyes, nose, and mouth. And if you watch a person, you can see the mouth is how they talk. The eyes are how they think. So, for example, Jeff Goldblum, watch how he pierces his lips just a little bit, but the eyes, he's thinking it's like a painting in a haunted house following you around. Ooh, very good. Yes, yes, of course. So that creates the character, and then people start to see it, because once you, I can get it to the point where I feel like I'm that person talking.
Yeah. Our guy is telling you our sister stations want some Frank Caliendo as well, so we'd love to have you for the rest of the show.
Encore,
really.
Dude. Yeah.
We do got to go when you're done if you want to come back.
I'll do it.
Addison Improv, 4 shows this week, right?
Tomorrow is 6, 7 and 9:15, and then Saturday is 6 and 8:15, 7 and 9, 3 o'clock in the morning. There are 2 shows in the breakfast time. Go to improvtx.com. There's 2 shows tomorrow and 2 shows Saturday. Saturday has maybe 20 tickets left between the 2 shows. Mm. And then the Friday early show, which is 7 o'clock, is almost sold out. The 9:15 is probably 3/4 of the way, so there's not a lot of tickets left.
I love it. You killed it again. Our text machine's on fire, just laughing their butts off, dude.
Incredible. How great is that? Let's go to the text. The text machine. Caliendo about to go to the sister station. You guys going to deal with the text. Great job. Out.
There he goes. One more for you. His Jim Rum. What did defenses do to have their best season in 2 decades? What are the smart offenses doing to punch back? Thanks to Frank, and we're back with the Expressway here. It's the G-Bag Nation on 105.3 The Fan.
This is the secret story of a young Russian oligarch who hacked his way to a $93 million fortune. I'm CNBC senior Washington correspondent Eamon Javers. In our new podcast, The Crimes of Putin's Traitor, I'll take you inside a shocking Russian crime targeting the American financial system. Attacks that sources tell me were welcomed by Vladimir Putin's government. Listen to CNBC's The Crimes of Putin's Traitor free on the Odyssey app.
Welcome back, Nation. Hope you're having a great day. Dissecting NFL offensive struggles and what the Cowboys must be able to do to optimize their chances of success. We're going to dip into some Warren Sharp content here for the first time in our build-up to training camp. Segment of the Nation brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. And it is brought to you by the on-time experts. Salute to the great Frank Caliendo, who just joined us. You can go back and listen with the Odyssey app to any segment that you might have missed and take a listen for yourself. But I was not only impressed with his skills, but how great of a dude he was.
Super friendly. I mean, like, even before we went on the air, I mean, just conversation, fun, funny guy. I mean, gosh.
Yeah.
That was enjoyable. Sometimes you get nervous.
Yes.
You know, being around somebody like that. But, man, he makes you feel totally comfortable hanging out with him.
Yeah, he's a very gifted guy in a lot of ways.
Yeah.
So I think what you're going to see here is the need to run the ball on offense is peaking again.
Oh.
And
I thought you think for the Cowboys?
For any team.
Any team.
You know? I think you're handicapping a quarterback more than ever. And I wonder about, you know, if this is like what I talk about as being like Dak's kryptonite when teams are able to play that clog and cover style. And that has really taken hold in a major way. And, you know, it's probably why, to me, they are making a commitment to a young offensive line is because they looked at Tyron Smith pass pro numbers and were like, man, even for $9 million, we need to be able to at least threaten the defense and take advantage of the friendly boxes. I mean, the era of the stacked box is almost extinct. It doesn't matter how good the offensive line and running back is. NFL teams have figured out a way to play both the pass and the run with the nickel. And that's probably my biggest takeaway from this article from Warren Sharp. And it's why I think they made the play in the first round for Mozzie Smith last year, blew up in their face, and you need a you know, a big defensive tackle there in the middle to be able to play this style. Maybe the need for linebackers is getting bigger. But, I mean, putting an impetus on the running game to take advantage of the light box, I think is, you know, something that most NFL teams should be doing, especially if those defenses are taking away your big plays.
What if I were to tell you that people are willing to let you run the ball on them and they're going to make you drive the ball 10, 12 plays to score?
Yeah. I would say the data absolutely supports that.
Yeah, they're just going to trust the fact that you won't have the patience as a play caller to do it.
You won't have the patience.
Or you will get some type of penalties. You'll get in a bad down and distance or whatever.
Tank Lawrence will knife through. He'll jump the snap count, and it'll get you for a negative play. And instead of first and second and six, it's second and 13 or second and, you know, second and 12, something like that. They teams are like, you know what? We're not going to give up big plays.
Mm-hmm.
But if you want to sit there and try and run the ball 12 straight times on us and score, and we'll ratchet this thing down and we'll play tight red zone defense and we'll make you kick a field goal and then we'll get the ball. I think in the NFL now you're going to see maybe a lot less possessions of game, a lot less possessions in games for offenses.
Yeah, I think there's two ways of looking at that. Number one, it is an invitation to do what Green Bay does to you, you know. But more than that, I think, you know, you need to be able to build a defense to catch up with this trend. And the Dan Quinn style of being aggressive is trending out, and maybe a Mike Zimmer style. I think that's perhaps the silver lining of this thing, even though maybe the Cowboys have put themselves in a position where they're 2 years behind the current meta.
Yeah.
You know, there is a lot of potential in there to start fixing that with Mike Zimmer.
You, if you choose not to be sound, these offenses will eat you up. They'll find ways to match up and then make you have to deal with bunch formations, movement of tight ends, just straight motion. They will find ways to get your bad players on their good players if you don't adjust. And you try and say, okay, well, we've got to try and choke the run here. So now we've got to commit a little bit more to the box here. And then now we'll move guys around. And then you don't have good enough personnel because you're trying to defend the run. You're now having to deal with, you know, like, maybe you don't have your nickel on. Maybe your nickel is one of your best players.
So yeah. I think defenses had a great year last year. They got rid of the big plays and handled the run. I think it now is going to shift back to offense. Like, how do we make them pay? Can we run them out of these looks? And I wouldn't be surprised if there's not a recommitment enough to running game.
Yeah, but that's like what Chief's talking about. Are you patient enough to do what Buffalo did to you in that game? Buffalo said, we don't have to throw the ball.
Yeah.
We really don't. We're going to run it here. But now you have to, on the other end, you have to make them pay on defense.
It might come down to play caller selection. You know, can you find offensive guys who not only love the passing game and understand how that route tree supports itself, but also can we teach the fundamentals of blocking and running and actually spend a significant amount of time there?
That's the problem.
You need to find the right mentality in an OC and maybe trend away from.
See, this is where I looked at Luke Schoonmaker at Michigan and go, wow, Blake Corum, look at him run the football. Look at Michigan be physical. Look at Luke Schoonmaker. So all of a sudden you think, okay, we're going to add him to help us run the football.
Yeah.
And he's no help. See, that's the problem.
At least they tried.
That's what I'm saying. There could be ways of, hey, we're going to be more committed to running the football.
Yeah, we got to get tight ends that can still block.
Yeah, we're going to get tight ends that can block. And we've got to be able to get offensive linemen that can block.
Okay, I don't want to go too far along without getting in some of these numbers just to prove the case. This is from Warren Sharp. Defensive success rate in 2023, the highest it's been since the 2013 season.
Mm-hmm.
On just passing plays alone, 57.6% defensive success rate matched the highest rate since they started paying attention. You know, in the 2000s, to slow down offenses, teams have reverted to dedicating more personnel to coverage, playing less aggressively. I do believe if teams are committed to do that, Dak Prescott in this passing game, that is, you know, it's pretty much curtains, you know, and I feel like we've seen that happen probably consistently for the last 3 or 4 years. Nickel has been trending toward the base defense for the NFL for a while, as you know. Mm. Defense had five defensive backs on the field for a record 67.2% of snaps last season. It's nuked the big play. Okay, forcing opposing offenses to sustain drives in hopes of creating a mistake along the way, as you guys just talked about.
Yeah.
Just 9.1 passing plays per game that gained 10 or more yards, which is also a historic low. Chief, I see you thinking over there. What do you got on this for us?
Well, I'm just wondering how much of that is the way that, of course, offenses are trying to attack you now. I think there's been a step down in quarterback play as we pass the baton from a generation of great quarterbacks onto some newer dudes who have promise, but you're still trying to get figured out there. There's a lot of quarterbacks that like to run the ball now as well. And there's been more of a focus on that, where quarterbacks are wanting to run at every turn. But defenses have done a nice job, and now you have the evolution of like the versatility of these players. Like, you're talking about offenses being able to do both, having wide receivers that want to block as much as they want to run their routes. And you have guys defensively now that are able to stop the run and still play the pass, because playing the pass is still going to be the most important thing. But you have these nickel, like these nickel corners now. Mm-hmm. That is something that you have to have. You got to have a monster on your defense, because you're going to be playing a ton of nickel. That's just the way it is. But you got to have a physical guy in there who is good enough to cover out of the slot, but then also be in the midst of the run game. And you see, like, Kyle Hamilton, who's kind of that tweener player. Mm-hmm. Is he a safety? Is he a nickel? But they bring him down and play him that way. And that's huge for the Ravens defense. In Detroit, they drafted Brian Branch. And as a rookie out of Alabama, he was a huge difference maker for them as a guy who is playing in the box, awesome at coverage, but also can come in, knife in the run game, blitz a little bit, and affect the quarterback from that standpoint.
Right.
So, like, I think when you're building a defense right now, and that's why I feel like Deron Bland, like, that is your nickel corner, dude. Mm. You've got to find somebody on the Cowboys defense that can play on the boundary, because Deron Bland, obviously serviceable on the boundary and at times amazing, but his home is in the, is somebody text again, McDuffie in the 214 from Kansas City.
Yeah.
Another great name, another team who utilized that to a great extent. And there's a lot more of these guys now that defenses are able to put in there, and you're not sacrificing much in the run game because this dude is just such a dog. And I think you have that in Deron Bland. You just got to find somebody on the boundary so that you can kick Bland inside.
Okay, and I know passing game's important, chunk plays are important. It's just, how do you get to those, right? And that's why I think, you know, the next wave of good offensive minds is going to be, you know, more diversity. You're asking your players to have a very diverse skill set, very well-rounded. We can cover, we can stop the run. I think you need to look for offensive schemes that are more balanced. And as evidence on that, last season, the first time in the 21st century, passing plays had negative expected points per drop back. You're dropping back to pass. This has been, hey, what we do in football to create big plays down the field, and my EPA and all the modern numbers support that. How do you think that plays? What's the reaction to that league-wide to first time in the 21st century? The closest number two was in 2022. So this has been building now for a couple of years.
I just feel like, though, to me, this, when I enjoy, like, we were talking about the running game and stuff like that. I enjoy that aspect of it. You know, when I look at offensive football, I just feel like, though, to me, these offensive linemen, the receivers, I mean, these receivers in college, when I do the draft, these receivers are so good.
Mm-hmm.
There's, you know, and I'm looking at these guys, and yeah, you got your top guys, but you go down through the list of these, you go down and you keep going and you go, and these guys show up.
They're NFL ready year
they're
one.
They're NFL ready from the jump. And I just can't believe, them. I just can't believe the league was going to go into a mode of just saying, you know what, we're going to commit to running the football.
Okay.
Not especially with, and you talked about the quarterbacks. We'll see. We'll see how this class of quarterbacks play, because we've had some, the Mitch Trubisky's and others, that have failed at this.
Wouldn't you say, though, that it sort of looks like a lot of these guys are just treating the run game as, this is what we have to do to keep the defense honest? I felt that way about Kellen Moore. I felt that way about last year's Cowboys team. There's not enough emphasis designing plays and teaching it.
Yeah.
And to that point, I just told you, it's set a record for most nickel defenses base.
Yeah.
the run game had the lowest success rate in any season since 2016 Dallas at the same time. They're begging you to run, and you're like, well, how do we do that?
Yeah, Dallas played more dime than anything. They were, I mean, they played six defensive backs, and that's because the sixth defensive back was a linebacker. So they played more dime than they played nickel last year. But to me, I think that the running of the football has become because these coordinators are not trusting these quarterbacks. But you get a guy like Houston has. You know, until we see more quarterbacks like Stroud come in, these young quarterbacks, we're going to keep these coordinators are going to try and protect these young quarterbacks from making mistakes. So that's where I think that's why you see them trying to run the ball. But teams are like, this quarterback can't beat us right now. We could play nickel or dime and still be good against the run because these offensive linemen aren't good run blockers to begin with.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's a huge problem. Like the development of offensive linemen over the years has gone way, way down.
They can pass block. Offensive linemen can pass block for the most part because that's what they do. All of them play a 2-point stance. But now you get, like I say, a team like Michigan runs the football. Where are all the Michigan offensive linemen if you're looking to run the ball? They're down. They're not in the league. They're not. But the athletes are all getting drafted.
It's
now.
Been building probably for three decades, this emphasis on the pass game. I think defense has finally figured out how to make them pay for it.
Agreed. 100%. And I do think you still have your best offensive coordinators, your best play designers still have incredible rushing attacks.
Yeah.
And so I just think there's a huge drop off.
You can scheme the running game.
You can, but not many, like Dawson was saying, like Kellen Moore, basically don't have time for it. It's all about the pass.
Watch San Francisco scheme running game.
Oh, for sure. I mean, they have
one of the best backs in the league, but watch them use Juszczyk. Watch them use Kittle.
Right.
Watch them use Ayuk in blocking. You know, teams will scheme. Like, they'll motion guys to get three to one side and then hand the ball to somebody. You scheme. Some of these coordinators aren't good enough to have a successful running game because they don't know how to scheme it.
Agreed, yes. And the ones that do are the ones that are the best in the league. And there has to be more people falling in line.
The guy at the Rams.
McVay is incredible at it.
The guy at the Ravens. Mocking it at the
Todd Monken.
At the Ravens. They know how to scheme run.
Mike McDaniel in Miami with the Dolphins.
Yes,
exactly. You see, got Matt LaFleur with Green Bay. Like there are a handful of coaches, and they're the best ones in the sport, and they figured out how to do both of them.
Right.
Unfortunately, it's a short list of like five guys, and then after that, it's a bunch of Kellen Moores. And you're like, what are we doing here?
I agree.
There's no nuance to our rushing attack here.
None.
There's no surprises. Like you're a one type of run game offense, whereas in Detroit, week to week, based on the defense, they're like, okay, do we want to be more gapped? Do we want to be more zone? What do we want to do? We have that ability.
And they got offensive linemen to do it. Yeah.
And they have the offensive linemen to do it for sure.
Right.
So there's a lot that goes into it, but I think there's only probably five coordinators that have it dialed on both sides, and those are the offenses that are always the best.
Maybe Bobby Slowick in Houston was one of them.
Slowick might be in that conversation as well.
You get a historic rookie year from your quarterback.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, final thing before we get to LA Live. Even with depressed passing numbers as a league, the NFL has averaged 8.2 per pass attempt with the use of play action compared to 6.6 without. The rate spikes to 8.5 when teams have used play action against zone coverages. And the shotgun stuff is sort of trending out, and it's the play action. And I think Dak's pretty good at that. You know, that's another thing to emphasize.
He's gotten better at turning his back to the defense and finding where everybody is.
It's time now to go into the Pimp Cup. Lucius Alexander in LA Live.
That's weed. Da-da-da-da-da-da. What's up, Broadus? I see you, bro.
Man, I'm seeing a reflection in the glasses out there, you know? What? No, seriously, what happened? What happened? Why are we wearing glasses today? Contact lenses?
I'm just feeling fly.
Problem?
I'm just feeling fly like that, okay, man. The gold rims on these joints, I just feel fly.
Are they prescription?
No, Broadus.
They're not?
No. No, I gotta go.
All right, you square.
I do need readers, though, that's for sure.
I figured you did.
Fire up this funk.
I can't drive at night either, too. I promise you.
It'll make you dance to some of everything. Everybody get high.
Hold up.
I, I, actually saw a young woman look like she might have been pushing 30. Ooh. And she was saying that if you're 40 and older, you've basically wasted your life and you're just trying to compete with these women. I'm about to be 60 next month. You see this gray hair? That's L-A-W. That's life and wisdom. Underneath this wisdom is 3 degrees, 1 undergraduate and 2 advanced degrees. I've got more education and learning than you've got life. I am a military veteran, nuclear weapons, special weapons, handguns, you name it. I've had hand-to-hand from a Vietnam veteran. I can put you down and out before you have figured it out. So, ladies, let's not play. I can cook. I can cook the food of several different countries by memory. Mm. With no recipe and no measurements, and break it down to parade rest.
Let's go.
So there is no competition. I'm already a mother. I've been married. Mm. I've done that. I've traveled the world all across the country. You just waking up, baby. I got street sense. You got to look that up on Google or social media. So when you step on the track, we've already run the race, got the medal, and went home, and we relaxing. Enjoy.
Yeah, it's ladies' night, bro.
Well said, man.
It's ladies' night, LA Live for Thursday, July 18th, 2024. Thirsty Thursday, ladies' night. LA Live is sponsored by Kissable Dental and their no-bill guarantee. Book online at kissabledental.com. Your kissable journey starts today. Before I get into any of this, Eric.
Oh.
Have you seen the meme going around that explains the colors of Gatorade and what they mean?
I have seen that, yes.
I don't know if there's any logic behind it, but he says the yellow Gatorades are for when you're thirsty.
Yep.
Yes.
Orange is for the hangovers.
Ooh, yes.
let's see.
Or blue.
Blue is for sports hydration. Dark blue.
Oh.
The dark blue is for sports hydration. Light blue is for when you just want a cold drink.
Okay.
Just a nice cold drink. And red is best for lunch.
Hey,
I don't know how he came to that conclusion, but hey,
purple's
I'm not
good
mad
for
at
mixing.
It.
Purple's a good mixer.
Purple's good for mixing.
Yeah.
What are you mixing with it, Bronis?
Tito's.
Okay.
Hey. Yeah. Gotta get it, man.
Trying to stay hydrated.
I usually go yellow when I'm just got a hankering for just some general thirst.
Give me the old school green Gatorade. That's the one.
I wish I could have had the Gatorade out of the jar.
Yeah.
Oh, right. Glass jar. Oh, yeah. That was way good.
For me, my favorite Gatorade bottle, though, is the one with the grip on it, long and squeezable.
Yeah.
You know?
Man, we used to go crazy for Gatorade at football practice because they used to have them big old gallon packs.
Yeah.
It was just powder.
Oh, yeah.
And you put it in the thing, you just scoot, 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 scoot. Boy. Yeah. People be lined up, putting your mouth all on the thing. Like, man, don't put your mouth on there, bro. We got to share this. I hate y'all. G-Bag of the Day, we do it every weekday on the Fan at 2:30. If you see anything floating out there, don't be afraid to hit me up at Lucky Lucius P on social media. All right, our winner right here is a lady. She caught a couple in the community pool at the apartment complex knocking boots. So she jumped out on her patio, started recording, and called them out in front of everybody. It was loud, too.
Hey, I definitely just called security on the both of y'all nasty asses while you out here done took your dirty ass panties off in that nasty ass water. That's so disgusting. Kids, get in that damn pool. You need to put your nasty ass panties back on, jump your ass back over that balcony and get the out that pool, because that's so disgusting. All the places you can have sex, you're gonna choose to have sex out here in the damn pool? That's so nasty and dirty as in a chlorine pool. It's okay, I took your video and security is on the way.
Yeah.
Oh, awesome. Thank you. Yeah. Can you send that to me?
Yeah, please. Poor guy.
Yeah.
You think they were sitting in their apartment? They peeked out the window, like, honey, nobody's at the pool.
Yeah, let's go down there.
It's our time.
But the middle of the day?
It was broad daylight. Yeah. It wasn't broad daylight. I forgot to tell y'all that it was broad daylight.
Yeah. And everybody knows that's just not the place for it.
That's just not the Yes, it's overrated. Like a beach or something. It's overrated. LA Live 105.3 The Fan, ladies' night.
Real quick, do y'all believe in women's intuition?
Hell yeah.
If you can feel that your man is cheating, why can't you tell when he's unhappy?
Got her.
Have y'all seen Kanye West's new wife?
Oh my gosh.
Dude. Wait, is this the one that wears very few clothes?
There you go, bro. That's good the job. One. If you don't know what I'm talking about, go ahead and Google it up.
That's all over Bronson's nice algorithm.
Yeah, Google up some images of her while I'm talking about her. 29-year-old Australian architect. Hey, and a model. She's an architect, huh?
Yeah.
Bianca Sensori, something like that. I'm probably saying it wrong.
A couple of days ago, she wore a silver bikini at a barbecue spot in L.A.
Yeah.
It went viral, caused a whole lot of commotion out there on the social webs.
Now, pretty top-heavy gal here.
I mean,
she's got a type.
Hella top-heavy. Beautiful in the face.
Yeah.
If I'm being, you know, picky, she's like 20-something, 29 years old, but her legs look like they're 49.
When you said she was 29, Lucius, that jarred me a little bit. Right? I would have guessed at least mid-30s.
Thank you.
She's getting on a Peloton.
Okay, so that's all I'm saying,
and
man.
A squat rack.
That's all I'm saying. Beautiful girl, though, you know.
Absolutely.
That's just me nitpicking.
Right.
But, yeah, she went viral for that. Now L.A. Restaurant owners are considering banning her and Kanye West.
Hmm.
Because of the X-rated appearances at all the restaurants there in L.A. All the L.A. restaurant people are coming together like, we just can't have them in our restaurants.
L.A. is doing this?
That's what I said, of all places.
Wow.
Yeah, she's naked in these restaurants.
Hope we run into them at Nobu.
When
we're there.
Nobu, Nobu, Nobu. I just had a private party in L.A.
Yeah.
Nobu.
And the authorities are looking for her as well.
Oh, really?
No.
She could face 6 months in jail and be registered as a sex offender.
Yeah, for walking around like that?
For walking around like that.
Are those like see-through undergarments that she's going on with the bottom side? And then maybe an extra small
bikini? Sometimes
she
doesn't even wear any bottoms.
She'll just wear like a full bodysuit of pantyhose.
Yeah. She won't even wear bottoms.
He may have really found his match this time.
Body pantyhose suit is crazy.
I'm serious. That's what it looks like.
A full body pantyhose suit is wild. Yeah, she had on a flesh colored see through netted top.
Yeah.
And she was going to a Melrose tanning shop. And them jokers was out there, boy. As my cousin calls them. She had the McGuffies out.
The McGuffey twins.
It was out. So, yeah, she got to calm that down. They looking for her and all the other good stuff. Thirsty Thursday, ladies' night here in L.A. Live.
Hey. You got to be like, am I willing to die for this?
I'm not. I'm not willing to die for it.
I think dying for your wife and your family, I can understand.
Because it's dangerous. It's not fearful. It's a dangerous
kids,
situation.
Yeah. Wife too.
Wife, no.
Her. Look, you bought her, though.
I'm not.
I mean, like, once you
I'm not dying for my wife, my n- doing in a dangerous situation. If me and my wife are running because two shooting at us and she trip, I'm going to keep running.
You and your wife?
Me and my wife.
Who hurt you?
Nobody. I'm just saying, I'll keep running.
Good follow-up. Yeah.
That is why women want all podcast mics destroyed.
Yeah.
That is why. Brad Pitt. Get into this Brad Pitt situation because it's ladies' night. Brad Pitt, he has cured his hygiene problem.
No.
Apparently, Brad Pitt was a funky guy.
What did he do, start showering?
He started showering. Brad Pitt's hygiene has been reformed by his new girlfriend. Google that girl up.
Yeah. Some with the Formula One race together.
He's probably sweating like a fool.
He's doing a movie. He's making a Formula One movie.
He sure is.
Yeah.
I was doing yard work last weekend, kind of pulling a Brad Pitt. I hadn't taken a shower that day, that morning, because it was so hot. I just jumped out there, started working. I come back inside, and I'm helping the little one with something. She goes, Daddy, you stink.
Yeah.
Yeah. I was like, oopsie.
Yeah, I'll tell you the truth.
I don't know how you pull off that Brad Pitt. You know, I get it. You don't have any responsibilities. You're hanging out of the house. You're like, whatever, bro. And
yeah.
I'm just cruising through life. But it gets disgusting. I would think within 36 hours max from my experience.
Brad Pitt was teased for years about his poor hygiene, including his BO problem. His lackadaisical attitude about taking showers and washing his hair, only wanting to use soap and water when he finally did take showers. Let's see, he often go a day or two without bathing. I remember him saying that when he broke up with Jennifer Aniston, he said it was such a great life. All they did was just sit on the couch and smoke weed, and she made all the money and everything like that.
Yeah.
But he said, I felt bored.
Idiot.
Yeah.
Not bored enough to take a shower. The top of the world.
Yeah, bro, what are you talking about?
I guess this is just the benefits of being like a celebrity man dime. You know, like girls are willing to sacrifice certain things.
Until they get close to him, you're still Brad. Until they get close to him.
Yeah.
I think Lenny Kravitz thinks, too. He got them damn leather pants on.
My gosh.
My man is in the gym with leather pants. Get the hell out of there with them damn boots and leather pants on in the gym, bro. You are funky.
He's wearing the same clothes he would wear during a concert in the middle of a gym.
I'll tell you this, though. That son of a gun, he's always around somebody good looking, though.
He's allegedly been celibate for like over a decade.
Really?
Lenny Kravitz. Because he stinks.
Wow.
He used to live in his backyard.
I would not believe that.
He used to live in his backyard, too, in a tent.
Yeah.
In his own backyard, just sitting out there in the tent. What a
Dawson, I hate that. That's
weirdo.
No air conditioning.
Yes.
Right, Dawson?
Oh, yeah, it's the worst.
Yeah, no air conditioning. We got to have that.
Let's see.
I'm willing to swim in the Pooh River.
Yep.
I heard that segment, Chief. Yep. You're a wild savage animal.
Yeah.
A month without AC.
I guess, swimming in hotel pools, getting rashes, still not enough for you to
hepatitis C over there.
Swim in the E. coli waters.
I can fight off a lot of things.
With an epidermis like yours, I can't sit in heat for a month, bro.
Give me like two nights, maybe, and you have an even proposition.
Hey, by the way, speaking of Brad Pitt, the Brad Pitt Fight Club workout is amazing. If you do that for 60 days, you will be on fire. I'm telling you right now.
Can you really do it to 60 days, though?
Yeah, I think so.
Can you?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
Not at the weight that they're saying do it at, but if you just do it at a nice weight that's tough for you, I think you'd be okay. But don't do it at the weight that they were talking about. There's like 80-pound curls in this joint. Preacher curls.
No, that's crazy because he was only like a buck 50 in that movie.
Really?
Yes.
He was ripped in that joint.
Super ripped, dude. I'm like, there's so many of these athletes that do, or these actors that do these amazing roles where they're physically incredible, and most of them are tiny. Like you would think, oh my gosh, this guy's got to be well over 200 pounds, just super jacked. It's like, no, they're all basically a buck 75 or smaller.
Yeah, it's like those boxers. Coming in at 112 pounds.
Like, my gosh, dude.
Like, what? A little less full?
Tom Cruise is a tiny dude. Saw him in real life.
Really?
Yeah, Indy 500. He's tiny, tiny, tiny.
Confuse him for Danica Patrick that day?
No, but he's a small man. He really is.
Well, LA Live, 105.3 The Fan. Ladies night.
Actor dudes.
This fool right here, actors are real small.
Yeah.
Real small. This fool right here went through his girl's phone while they were on vacation.
Oh.
Boy, I hate arguing or something like that on vacation.
Yeah.
So he took her out on a jet ski.
Dumped
her. Out there in the middle of the ocean and just started asking her the hard questions.
Yeah. Bro, who is day? Ocean right now.
Who is day?
Why does it matter who Dave
who
is?
Dave?
Why does it matter?
Bro, quit playing with
does
me,
it
bro.
Matter who Dave,
tell
is?
Who Dave is?
I don't know who Dave is.
Bro, bro.
Get off. Why
get
would off. I get off out here? I'm
bro.
In the middle of the ocean.
Get off the jet ski.
Get off.
Get off, bro.
Yep.
Down, bro.
Whoa.
Wow. Tell Dave come pick you up out of here.
Yeah, get Dave.
God. Oh.
Wow. He took her out in the ocean and dumped her?
Yeah, he should have known better.
Can't do that, can you?
Well, I mean, just left her out there. Tell me who Dave is.
So how long before you let her back on the jet ski?
You got to come back real fast. You like act like you're pulling off. Yeah. And you come on, make that loop.
I'd see how long she could tread water asking her who Dave is now.
Ooh.
I like that. Yeah. We'll start telling the truth here.
Making circles around her. She's out there. Who's Dave? Who's Dave?
You're just tearing it up, having a good time on the way.
Oh, my gosh. Hey, this might be your people here, Mr. Broadus.
Yeah.
Looks like the Princess of Dubai divorced her husband via Instagram.
Ooh.
Yeah. Wow. She's the daughter of the country's prime minister, too, by the way.
Okay.
Her husband, some sheik of a name that I cannot pronounce.
Mm-hmm.
So I found the clip. So they can tell you about it, because I cannot pronounce these names. So you'll hear it too.
Our top story is one of courage and leading by example. It is the story of the Princess of Dubai, Sheikha Mahra bint Mohammed bin Rashid Al Maktoum.
What?
She Full has name. Made a dramatic and unexpected move by publicly calling out infidelity and using triple talaq to end her marriage.
Hmm.
Here's what happened. Earlier this week, Sheikha Mahra shocked the world with an Instagram post in which she accused her husband, Sheikh Mana bin Mohammed bin Rashid bin Mana Al Maktoum, of infidelity.
Yeah.
She stated he was, and I'm quoting, busy with his other companions, quote unquote.
Busy.
What were their names?
Busy with his other companions.
Busy, yeah.
Yeah, that's a long-ass name. That's like Mutombo's real name.
They got a few of them, yeah.
Bumbity-bobbity-bobbity-bob. Yeah, so
a lot of B-I-N's.
She broke up with him via the Instagram.
Yeah.
And ladies over there, see, there's a power move.
Yeah.
flex on them.
City girls up.
City girls up. Thirsty Thursday, ladies night. Hey. I'm going to leave y'all with this right here.
And I overheard a couple having an argument. You know when you hear that sweet nectar of life? You know when you like pause your own music? And they're going at it. And then I look who the couple is. It's two gay guys going at it. It was crazy. They like both made sense. Everybody stayed on one topic. Nobody was bringing up old just two logical superior brains trying to find a solution.
That's wild right there, bro. That's wild. All right, Lord willing and the creek don't rise. I'm talking about the body of water. My name is Lucius Alexander, and that's my time.
Thank you, Lucius. We're about 24 and a half hours from the resumption of the Ranger season. Pregame tomorrow night, 6:30, as they take on the O's. Will and CA are going to be live at the Globe before the second game on Saturday from 9 to 1.
Yeah, you'd come see Lucius tomorrow at the ballpark if you want to.
That's right.
We're all out there, me, Chief, and Lucius. Come on, say hello.
Looks like it's going to be a big
one. We're going to be chiefing at the ballpark, fam? What'd you say? Yeah.
Chiefing. Yeah. Chiefing.
What
chiefing.
Else would we be doing?
That's what I'm got real progressive out there.
Yeah.
Okay.
Hot dogs.
Speaking of chiefing, what are we doing next, Eric?
We got ourselves a little Around the Bases brought to you by Uber Eats. Unreal ballpark items making waves across the sport right now. Plus, we have a little chicken soup for your Rangers soul next year in the nation.
Money Movers provides investors with real-time analysis of the stories and the people attracting the attention of markets each day. I'm Carl Quintanilla.
And I'm Sarah Eisen. We'll cover the breaking news and numbers driving stocks and sectors, helping you make critical decisions. Plus, we'll speak with the CEOs, newsmakers, and political leaders playing a role in how your money is moving.
Listen to CNBC's Money Movers free on the Odyssey app